Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Looks like I picked another great day to travel. We had some big news drop on Tuesday night. Elon Musk has sold another almost $7 billion of Tesla stock. We'll talk about that and if this is finally the end of his selling for Twitter. Elon has commented on that, but we'll also take a look at the financial structure of the Twitter deal just to get a better understanding of where we're at. Then we've also got an update on the Tesla Semi, news on Tesla's battery supply, an update on Tesla Energy, Rivian earnings, and more. Right, quick look at the stock. Tesla today down 2.6% to close just below $860 per share, while the NASDAQ was down 0.6%. I do want to quickly catch up on a couple of macro things here first. So we had the CPI and PPI reports come in over the last 2 days. Even though expectations seemed to be rising going into those reports, as we had talked about earlier this week, both did come in below expectations. So we actually get a couple of nice charts to look at here. On top, we've got CPI headline number, on bottom, PPI headline numbers. That means that's inclusive of both food and energy. You can see the month-over-month change here, flat for headline CPI. First time we've seen that in over a year. And then PPI, or producer price index, that was actually slightly down month-over-month. Now again, that was heavily due to energy costs, which does affect the cost of pretty much everything. But if we look at the core CPI and the core PPI, excluding food and energy, we are still seeing month-over-month increases here, 0.3% for the CPI, 0.2% for the PPI. Those are both still a little bit higher than what the Fed would want to see from a steady state perspective, but both did come in below expectations as well. So I think largely both of those reports can be taken as positive news trending in the right direction. Of course, we won't have the next Fed meeting until September, so we will still get to see August CPI and PPI before another interest rate change decision has to be made. This does, though, increase the odds of a lower increase, so, you know, 50 basis points or maybe even a little bit less than that, depending on what unfolds between now and mid-September. So those were the big economic reports this week. As we look at the week ahead for next week, probably nothing too major in terms of economic reports, always something going on, but a relatively quieter week from that perspective. Tomorrow, though, we are expected to have the House vote on the Inflation Reduction Act. Obviously, that is largely expected to pass. Apparently, that is staying as it was written by the Senate. And of course, that is largely expected to pass the House vote. So that means the EV tax credit, as we have gone through it, would be one step closer, and just then needing to go to President Biden to be signed into law alongside the rest of the Inflation Reduction Act. All right, let's move into Tesla news. Of course, the first thing we got to talk about here is to get caught up on Elon Musk's stock sale. So we did have some Form 4s disclosed on Tuesday evening that showed that Elon Musk had been selling Tesla stock on Friday, Monday, and Tuesday following Tesla shareholder meeting last week. Over those 3 days, Elon sold just shy of $6.9 billion worth of Tesla stock. Very importantly, on Tuesday night, Elon replied to Sawyer Merritt, who would ask, "Elon, are you done selling?" Elon said, "Yes." In the hopefully unlikely event that Twitter forces this deal to close and some equity partners don't come through, it is important to avoid an emergency sale of Tesla stock. Now, regardless of your feelings on the Twitter deal, I think Elon makes a strong point here. Basically, what he's saying is that if he needed to eventually sell more Tesla stock to make sure that this deal can be completed, he doesn't want to get Tesla in a situation where investors know that that is coming, because so many people would try to be selling ahead of that, front-running it. That would drop the stock a lot further than Elon Musk quietly selling on his own, and it would add even more volatility to an already volatile stock. So if Elon felt like he needed to raise more cash to be able to make sure that this deal could go through in that event, then the stock sale in that context seems to make a lot of sense. Really, the only other option Elon would have in a case like that would be to take on margin debt, which would be a possibility, but it does take on additional risk both for Elon and for Tesla to an extent that can be very easily avoided for a relatively low cost. I mean, I know it's kind of annoying when Elon sells for investors, but this is still a small amount of the total amount of shares that Elon has. He's still the most invested individual in the entire world in Tesla. And like the reason or not, there is a very clear reason why he's selling here that is not necessarily directly related to Tesla. So at the end of the day, does this change anything about my investment thesis? No, it doesn't. Elon did also respond to a question that said, if the Twitter deal doesn't close, will you buy Tesla stock again? And Elon said yes. Now, it is nice to have that confirmation. As we've talked about before, though, I do think that the deal probably does end up closing one way or the other. So I wouldn't really expect some massive tailwind in the stock price at some point from Elon buying billions of dollars worth of shares, but it is a possibility that potentially flips the possibilities that we have been dealing with the last few months. By those possibilities, I mean we've been dealing with the possibility that Elon would have to do exactly this, sell more Tesla shares to finance Twitter. That's created this little bit of Twitter overhang. Well, now if Elon has sold enough Tesla shares to make sure that that deal can be funded, that possibility is potentially removed and replaced with the possibility of Elon then buying if the deal doesn't actually close. So let's examine that possibility. Let's take a look and see if Elon really now is done selling. Of course, we had heard something similar from Elon before. In late April, after the first round of this, selling Tesla stock to potentially finance Twitter, Elon did say, quote, "no further Tesla sales planned after today," end quote. Now, we have to emphasize planned here, because I think a lot of people's concern with this isn't necessarily so much that, hey, Elon sold Tesla stock, it's more of, hey, can I really trust what Elon has to say? That's a very important thing for a company that you're going to invest in, and I think especially given the circumstances of the sale following immediately the shareholder meeting, that's a question that is popping up for a lot of people. So just my two cents, everyone make their own decision on this, but my feeling here is that although optically it probably would have been a lot better for Elon to at least wait a week or two after that meeting, I think Elon's rationale checks out, and I don't think his sale directly contradicts anything that he said at the shareholder meeting. In fact, he emphasized that sometimes there's going to be short-term things that cause a lot of commotion with the stock, and sometimes that's a good buying opportunity. And I think even though Elon was talking about more production-related things, it certainly wouldn't be surprising if Elon had these sales in the back of his mind. So you can look at that one of two ways. You can say, oh, Elon told me to buy the dip and then immediately the next day sold when I bought. Or you can look at it and say, hey, Elon was kind of warning us that there might be some volatility, and maybe that is going to be a good opportunity. Based on the reason that Elon has given for the sale and the logic behind it that I think does make sense, and everything that we have learned and know about Elon over the last couple of decades, I fall much more into that latter camp. Again, it's not the timing that I would have picked for Elon, but we don't have perfect information. We don't know if something is going to happen in the next week or two that causes this to be a little bit more urgent. Maybe Twitter and Elon end up settling and the acquisition is going through and it needs to happen now. So without more perfect information, I'm not going to be too critical on that point. And I don't think anything from the meeting was contradictory. As for Elon having said previously, no further planned sales, I think it's very important to understand what that means. No further planned sales. Plans change. It doesn't take the most astute observer to recognize that a lot has changed over the last few months from a macro perspective, from a deal perspective. Again, regardless of how you feel about the Twitter deal in general, if it even should have been a thing in the first place, it is extremely obvious that things have changed. So for me, when you look at all the context here, when you look at the logic that Elon has provided behind this decision, there's nothing here that reduces my trust at all. So again, totally fine if you feel differently and everyone needs to make that decision for themselves. And although how everything is going down with Twitter is maybe not the path that I would have selected personally, I'm comfortable with where we're at right now. So that being said, we know Elon said that he is done selling, but I do want to evaluate the Twitter financing situation just to get a better understanding of that because, again, things can change, so it's better to have the full context. Elon's statement here did seem more absolute. He simply said, yes, done selling, versus before when he had said no more planned sales, that very obviously leaves the door open for something to change and more selling to happen. The more absolute answer in this case, I think, suggests that regardless of how the deal needs to be financed, Elon feels comfortable that he now has enough capital available to him without having to sell to make that close. I map this out just very simply to understand all of this. On the left, we've got what has been quote-unquote raised, or basically the liquid capital that doesn't require anything else to happen. And then on the right, I have how the original commitment was structured. Remember, that was $46.5 billion for a $44 billion valuation of Twitter. So the commitment letter a little bit higher than the deal just to account for transaction fees, maybe a little bit of buffer too on share count. Anyway, if we look on the right, we know that Musk owns about 73 million shares of Twitter. At this deal price, $54.20, that'd be worth about $4 billion of equity that Elon already has. Back in April, he sold about $8.4 billion of Tesla stock, and then here he sold about $6.9 in August. In this case, I'm assuming that Elon didn't have to pay any capital gains on those because Elon did have high cost basis shares from his options assignment last year that he paid a lot of taxes on. We have no way of knowing what the cost basis of Elon's sold shares were, but it's entirely possible that all those sales happened with a net capital loss and therefore no additional taxes, meaning all that capital would be available for this deal. So with cash and Twitter shares then, Elon would be at $19.3 billion available for this deal. We know other investors had committed $7.1 billion. Now, there could be additional equity commitments. Some of those could back out too. But I think when Elon was saying, hey, some people might back out, he's probably talking about others that had not firmly committed yet, but that Elon expected at the time would probably end up in the deal. Then, in addition, we have a $13 billion debt commitment from banks as a part of that initial offer. So unless Elon had some other cash sitting around that we don't know about, in total that would put him at $39.4 billion available, versus that initial commitment of $46.5 billion. Now, in that commitment, we can see that there was actually $12.5 billion for margin that was later cut out, shifted all to equity. So in this raised or liquid portion, we're considering no margin right now. So that would leave potentially $7.1 billion remaining that Elon would have to find. But if we look at a couple of things, it's probably not even actually that much. One thing is Twitter's share count actually came down from the Q1 filing to the Q2 filing for some reason. I haven't followed Twitter closely enough to know why that is, but it actually came down to 766 million shares. So at $54.20, that's $41.6 billion. That's about $2.5 billion less than what the previous deal had been reported at. But even if that lower share count stays the same, there's still going to be transaction costs. So previously there was $2.5 billion set aside for that, as we'd mentioned. So depending on what those transaction fees end up being, we're looking at a range of maybe $2 billion to $4.5 billion that would still need to be, quote unquote, raised to make this deal happen. So if Elon ends up needing to sell again, it would be a very, very small amount. But there are other levers too. Like we just said, that margin commitment, not at all a factor here. Elon could easily go out and get $2, $4 billion margin, no questions asked. I mean, obviously they'd have a couple of questions, but very easy for Elon to get that level of financing. And the amount of risk that size of margin loan would put on Elon or on Tesla is just almost entirely inconsequential after so much cash has now been raised. There's also the possibility that that gap could be made up with a lower sales price. So, you know, $2 billion or $4 billion left, that would end up equating to share price of $51.60 to $48.30. That would cut out that difference if potentially Elon and Twitter came to a settlement agreement at a lower price. So looking at this, I think that's why Elon is pretty confident no more selling needs to occur. He only needs a little bit more that could come from a margin loan, that could come from other equity investors, could come from a renegotiation with Twitter, lots of possible paths there. Throughout all of these scenarios, the probably only risk in that would be those other investors, $7 billion committed. If all of that somehow went away, then obviously Elon might have to sell a little bit more stock, maybe at worst another round like this, but even then he could probably just do all that on margin too. And I think the scenario of all other investors dropping out is unlikely, even though Elon says that he doesn't really want this. I think he's made the case for how this can turn into a really strong business if it does end up happening, and kind of seems like Elon might actually want it to happen still anyway. So the short version is that I don't think there's really much risk left of Elon having to continue to sell Tesla stock to finance Twitter, maybe only in a worst case scenario, again, if Elon didn't want to take on any margin at all. So it won't be the last time we talk about this, but for now, I think we can move on. We do have an interesting tweet here from Elon, maybe trying to get the narrative away from this a little bit, talking about the Tesla Semi, the master plan, things like that. He was just kind of reminiscing on the original master plans, and then he also noted that this year, Tesla will start shipping the 500-mile range Semi. All right, so that's pretty exciting. When Tesla unveiled the Semi, they had talked about two versions, a 500-mile range and a 300-mile range version. So it sounds like Tesla planning on delivering at least some of that top spec vehicle sometime in the next 5 months. And with that range, by the way, that is supposed to be with a full trailer load. So hopefully with Elon talking about this, whenever Tesla does do that, they'll be a little bit less secretive about it than what we have seen with the Semi so far and the things going on at the Frito-Lay factory and those mega chargers and all that. All right, next up, we've got a report from Sina Technology out of China. They are saying that on the afternoon of August 10th, a number of people familiar with the matter revealed that the Blade battery supplied by BYD has been delivered to Tesla's Gigafactory in Berlin. So we've talked about BYD's plans to supply Tesla going back many months now. Looks like that is finally coming to fruition. Interestingly, here they say it's not happening at Giga Shanghai, so just Berlin for now. And the report says that these would be planned to go into production vehicles as early as about a month from now. So we'll have to see if that results in a new version from Giga Shanghai, maybe a more standard range comparable vehicle, or maybe Tesla with their order to BYD has just tried to match specs on this as close as they can. And then maybe this just ends up being a component that the customer doesn't really know any difference about anyway. So we'll keep an eye out for any more information on that over the next few weeks. We do also have an update here from Sandy Monroe on their ongoing teardown of the 4680 pack. Just kind of a funny quick clip they shared on Twitter today of Corey and one of their engineers trying to break apart some of the battery cells from one another, just kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of showing that these are really a structural element, not just cells that are kind of sitting in there and pretending to be. All right, last couple of quick things for today. First, an update on a small Tesla energy project. This was announced by 9.Energy, who said that they have partnered with Tesla on a 12.3 megawatt hour Tesla Megapack system in Bronx, New York. They're saying this is the first battery energy storage site in that location. They say they are working on their goal of delivering 400 megawatts of clean energy systems by 2026 in New York City. All right, lastly then, Rivian did post their earnings results for Q2 after hours today, so just a couple of quick highlights for that. They did produce 4,400 vehicles in the second quarter, so almost doubling their production from the second quarter, which was about 2,500 vehicles, so just shy of 7,000 vehicles for the first half of the year. And they did say that they are still targeting 25,000 for the entire year. So even though we did have Lucid recently cut their guidance in half, Rivian is holding at that 25,000 level. Even maintaining production, though, they did adjust their earnings expectations downward. Previously, they had expected an EBITDA loss of about $4.8 billion for the year. They now expect adjusted EBITDA to come in at just above negative $5.5 billion. So a $700 million reduction on that line. But they did end Q2 with about $15.5 billion of cash and cash equivalents. All right, before we wrap it up for today then, again, just a quick reminder that I will be off tomorrow as well, so I guess get prepared for another wild day. Seems to be the trend. But hopefully the wildness for the week is out of the way. We'll see. Whatever the case may be, I will be back to discuss it all on Monday, August 15th. Until then, make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And again, we'll see you on Monday for the August 15th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.